everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you along with Bob Dio. Bob is our fine new producer engineer of the Buckmaster Show. I think we're almost, believe it or not, about 6 weeks into the new format here, the expanded format of all local talk. 6 a.m. to 7 in the evening, we have nothing but local talk here on the Bustos Media-owned KVOI. We welcome you to the program. It's Buckmaster. That is the name of the program. That's me. And we are ready to do it on this Thursday, December the 13th, 2018. You're listening to AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and of course the station, kvoi.com. All of our programs, pretty much every show we've done since January 3rd, 2011, when we started the radio project, is archived at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number, 790-2040. That's the number if you would like to make a comment or ask a question of Dr. Mark Stegeman. Dr. Stegeman is the longtime member of the Tucson Unified Governing Board. He's been on the board now, I want to say 2010. Is that about right, Mark?
A little more. This is my 10th year.
The 10th year on the board. All right. And you'll be standing for election in 2 more years. Is that right?
Maybe, but my current term will be ending in 2 more years, that's for sure.
Right. And first of all, I want to welcome you back to the program and hope you and your family are getting ready to enjoy a lovely and joyous Christmas.
Oh, yes. We're all together in Tucson. My son Patrick is coming up on 2 years old, and he's going to have a good time.
Oh, everybody's going to have a good time. So last night was the final board meeting of the current board members, the 5-member board, right?
That's right.
And so the new board with the newly reconstituted board, which will include a newcomer to the TUSD board, Layla Counts, will be joining the board and be sworn in January. Have you met with Ms. Counts?
Yes, I've met with her before the election, and I met with her since then.
What do you think of her?
Well, I like her. She's coming out of a different place in the political space, maybe, than I am. But I think she's smart. I think she's sincere. And I think that her coming on the board will help raise the professionalism and the collegiality of the board, which is not the most important thing, but it is an important thing.
Oh, it's been a problematic, certainly, in your 10 years on the board. This has been a problem of the board getting together. And Ms. Grijalva was with us a few Fridays ago for our Friday Focus interview, and she says she's tried.
Well, I have never declined a board member's invitation to meet, and certainly, as we've even talked about in this show, she has declined my invitations in the past, and I'm not complaining about that except to clarify the record.
Have you met with her socially?
Yes, we met, well, I don't know, socially, but we don't travel in exactly the same circles. But
what I meant was socially being a cup of coffee. How's that?
Well, we met down at the district office for about an hour earlier this week. To talk about things coming up, and it was a friendly meeting and overdue. I think we probably still have some serious policy differences, but it was a good and friendly meeting.
Was there anything in her session with me on the show that you wanted to clear up?
Well, she said that she made a comment that I don't maybe... I'm not fraternized, or I'm not sociable with the other board members, or I don't say hello and ask how they're doing and stuff at meetings. And she was saying maybe we should do more of that. And then she said, which would be fine. And then she said that I replied that that just wouldn't help the district. And it's not maybe an important point, but as a point of fact, I never have said such a thing. And I think part of the problem on the board is the board members, and I don't want to be doing that right now, and we should move on, but the board members calling each other out. And there's a history of one board member, I mean, just in general, not talking different people, pointing to another board member and saying, troublemaker, troublemaker, not nice. Mm-hmm. And then one can wonder, well, who is being not nice mm-hmm. when you're pointing fingers like that? Mm-hmm. And I think it should just stop.
Should stop and move forward, right?
And I don't think Layla will tend to do that. That's one thing I'm optimistic about.
There was some confusion now about these changes in graduation, what will be required and what people will be wearing at graduation. It had to do with First Nation or Native American people being able to wear some kind of, they're proud members of their nation. They would like to wear some members, they would like to wear some, something that would be personal for the Indian nation, right?
Right.
Does that mean they won't do caps and gowns or what?
The board did not adopt a final policy. So what we do now, and this is a change since I've been on the board, is we adopt a provisional policy, put it out for public comment, mm-hmm. and then it comes back. But what we put out for public comment is a very simple change. It just says that, of course, they still have to wear caps and gowns. We're not revising that, and there seems to be some confusion mm-hmm. about that. Mm-hmm. But the existing policy says they cannot add anything to the caps and gowns. You can't add any adornment.
Oh, I see.
And what the new policy would say is simply that the superintendent is authorized to make exceptions mm-hmm. to that rule to respect cultural or religious beliefs or traditions. It doesn't mm-hmm. specify anything about Native Americans in particular. It doesn't specify any criteria. It just leaves that up to the superintendent's good judgment. Mm-hmm. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But I think it's been, and I'll trust the superintendent will exercise good judgment, but I think it's been a little overblown, both what we did and in terms of education, Bill, you know, it's so minor. And on Tuesday, there were much more important issues concerning education. There have recently been a lot of important issues concerning education, but what gets the media grabs onto is
this relatively
trivial thing. And yeah. I was happy to support it.
This was the headline out of your meeting.
Mm-hmm. It was trivial. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's what you wear at graduation is not a huge issue.
What should the headline be out of the meeting?
Well, out of that meeting, I think the
biggest... Or any meeting that's facing you now as you start a new year. What's
The November meeting was very consequential. There were a lot of big issues, and the media had never looked at any of it.
Give us a couple of examples.
And then on December, and at the last meeting on Tuesday, we talked about this very controversial economics course, and that should have been the headline for last Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Well, in November, we brought forth some important policy changes, and one of which has to do with was on the agenda with codifying the end of the do not hire list. Mm-hmm. So this policy change I'm bringing forward hasn't been adopted yet, mm-hmm. but it's a practice I want to be sure never comes back. And we had a...
What do you mean, do not hire? A little notation there at the bottom of the application or what?
Well, this is something that...
Is this kind of a black book or...
Well, it is. It really was sort of a blacklist.
Uh-huh.
And this had been a sort of rumor mm-hmm. in the district for years that there was this hidden blacklist and yeah. no one knew who was on it and mm-hmm. then you stayed on it forever. And one of the things I was happy about was it was when I raised the issue with Dr. Trujillo, and it was one of the very first things I raised with him when he became interim superintendent initially. I said, finally, can we do something about this? And unlike every other superintendent, he said, yes, let's look into it. And he took a lot of people off it. They did a review. They mm-hmm. took a lot of people off this list, mm-hmm. changed the rules about the list. Mm-hmm. But I think it should be in policy. And so I've been working with the lawyer, the general counsel, and external counsel to formulate a policy that would basically completely end that list forever.
Okay.
And that's that should be big news.
Okay, let me move on quickly here because I need to tell people in a moment here, Dr. Stegman, about my favorite bakery, Mona's Danish Bakery.
Oh.
But before we do that, you're an economics professor at the University of Arizona specializing in game theory. You said something just a moment ago last night, the headline or the day before Tuesday's meeting, the headline should have been something about an economics course. What are you talking about?
There was a very controversial economics course that the district was teaching. It was created by the Freedom Center, which is a conservative-leaning institute at U of A,
mm-hmm.
and it had never been approved by the board.
Mm-hmm.
And so when this came to, and I was actually unaware of it completely, and when it came to light about a year ago, the board canceled it pending review. And on Tuesday, that came back for course for board approval or non-approval and discussion. And that was a very consequential issue, much more so than what people were at graduation.
But it's not moving forward?
No, it was not moving forward. That's right. The board just let it alone. And there were concerns about content, and there were concerns about process.
All right, now it's time to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. Do you like bakery goods, Dr. Stegeman?
I do, Bill.
Well, instead of cookies this Christmas, you can make Santa tingle. Leave him a treat from Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle. And as I mentioned and shared with our listeners yesterday, Bob Dio will recall this, that my lovely wife Anne picked up a lovely Danish Kringle on the way to the office yesterday for a potluck. Guess what? It was a huge success. And even better, Anne brought home a few pieces for me that were left that were not eaten. And I decided last night, Dr. Stegeman, that I would make a dessert of that almond kringle. So put some of that Tillamook vanilla ice cream, a scoop of that with that blueberry Danish kringle. And oh, that was a lovely dessert. Yeah. Well, here's the good news, Bob. You can jump in here real quickly. Bob Dio on the other side of the glass. I have good news for you and everyone here at KVOI, because I will be picking up, yes, Bob's lighting okay. up. I will be picking up an almond Danish Kringle on the way to work tomorrow.
Ooh.
And we'll be delivering it here to the station at 11 o'clock.
I'll be in at 10:30 to make sure that I'm ready for that.
There
and
you
I'm
go.
First in line.
All right. So you can find out more about Mona's Danish Bakery, monasdanishbakery.com, or by going to my website, buckmastershow.com, a link to Mona's and all of our great sponsors. Dr. Stegeman has agreed to stick around till 12:30. So if you'd like to call 790-2040, we'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 1220. Time to pick up poinsettias over at Green Things, our favorite nursery here in town. Also the home of Zocalo, all that great Mexican merchandise on 13 acres at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. And as my friend pointed out yesterday, he's rather upset about the name poinsettias because of who Mr. Poinsett was, or he was. Anyway, the plant is known as, in Mexico, as Ketlashoshi. Did you know that, Dr. Mark Steg?
I had no idea of that.
Anyway,
I didn't know there was a Mr. Poinsettia.
But I think it's points. The gentleman from history is Poinsett or Poinsett, something like that. You can look it up. But anyway, regardless of what it's called, these plants are called, they're beautiful. And in every imaginable color, they have thousands of them over at Green Things. Jan and Jack, the owners, were lovely to gift my wife and I with three beautiful ones, a pink one, a red one, and a white one. And as the sun hits those in the living room, oh, beautiful, just absolutely beautiful. Are you going to decorate your house this year, Dr. Stegeman?
We are decorating our house.
Well, perhaps that would be a good choice for you, your lovely wife, to go buy Green Things at 3384 East River Road and pick up some of them to decorate around the house.
We'll try to do that.
Enrollment is the big issue, isn't it, going to be for 2019? The district lost 1,200 students this year, and as you say in your letter, constituent letter, and the last one I have, it's like October 7th.
Yeah, I've been meaning to write another one.
And you say the district is just inadequately prepared for the new wave of charter entry and expansion.
Well, I think so. We have big problems with teacher retention, and we have big problems with customer service. And I feel bad coming on here and sounding negative, but at the Tuesday's board meeting, a teacher came from one of our K-8 schools and described a chaotic environment.
What?
Bill, this isn't the first school this has happened at. And we've received a number of emails with subject lines like, help, sort of like, we're on an island here, we need a SWAT team.
What's going on? Why chaotic? What's their
horrible
complaint?
Student behavior without consequences. It's a familiar story.
Well, if a student goofs off and is a problem, what can you do?
Well, if you have a reasonable system, then the student receives appropriate counseling and consequences.
But you're saying that that's not in place.
Well, that's what the teachers there are saying.
Oh, the teachers.
But
saying.
We have heard from multiple teachers with really horrific stories by email this month. And the school, judging from these accounts, and one of them came and spoke in public at the meeting. Uh-huh. This particular school is in turmoil.
What?
Well, we've had it before, Bill, at different schools. I mean, this is one of the cultural problems in TUSD is inability to maintain a consistently productive educational climate.
I mean, and you're saying this school is not unique?
No, we had a big blow up. I mean, I won't mention the name because this hasn't blown up in public yet, okay. Although I think it will. But Seacrest, several years ago, stuff blew up. Palo Verde, Booth Fickett has been in the news. We lost a quarter of our students at Booth Fickett year over year. 25%, enrollment went down 25%.
Wow.
That's what happens when climate gets out of control. And this is a systemic issue in TUSD.
Well, that's got to be addressed.
Well, we had a revision of the disciplinary code last spring.
How'd that go over?
Well, it passed 3-2. Rachel Sedgwick and I thought it was nowhere near what it needed to be. And I think...
Going to bring it up again now with the new board?
I hope so. I will bring... In fact, I will. I will bring it up. And I committed to one of the teachers that I would bring it back up.
What's this deal? We had a call a couple of days ago, didn't we, Bob, about the fire suppression equipment at...
Gridley.
Yeah, at Gridley. This was an issue that a caller brought up. Do you have any information you can share with our listeners about that?
Yeah, on Tuesday, we... passed an emergency procurement to get that fixed.
What was the deal? They just didn't have a couple of fire extinguishers or what?
No, there was some sort of fundamental breakdown in the system. I mean, it just didn't work anymore. The fire alarm system, as I understand it, was not breaking down.
Oh, well, that is critical.
But they brought forward an emergency procurement,
okay,
which we did approve.
Okay, going back to your constituent letter, and again, I'm having to refer to it is October 7th. You said there was actually a draft on your computer right now, but have not gotten around with the holidays and everything, sending it out. I'm sure we'll
see. Final exams.
Yes.
Incidentally.
We will see it. You said the big picture after Ms. Sedgwick's election in 2016, the new board and superintendent are moving in many right directions, but not fast enough.
Yes, and discipline is an example. We're supposed to have a complete overhaul of the disciplinary code. And what we got was, after a lot of work, something that was not that different, somewhat different, not that different. And that kind of story repeats over and over. We had a little bit of clean out of administrators who weren't doing their jobs. And I give Dr. Teo credit for that, but it wasn't nearly enough.
Here's what you do like: auditing and financial oversight.
Yes.
Fixing do not hire, departures of underperforming senior administrators, percentage spending targets, policy changes concerning administrative hires, ending the outsourcing of substitute teachers, allocating desegregation funds to new teaching stipends and class size reductions. Mm-hmm. You like the reform of the board office at 1010. Right.
Which, yes, although that got blown up at the November meeting, unfortunately.
Better management of the DSEG case, defeating a move to support Red for Ed by changing sick leave rules. Here's the subsequent misses, you say. Approval of a fiscally unsound budget for 2018-2019, holding $1 million off your bond election that was doomed to fail and did fail.
Yeah, by a huge margin.
Blocking the superintendent's proposal for a high school boundary review. Is that going to come back?
Well, that did come back, actually, in November. That was one of the sort of bigger news items lately. And we are going to do a boundary review, not just of high schools, but of the whole district.
And there's one other item we mentioned already, adoption of a new student disciplinary code, that needs to be a decision on that needs to be brought. You mentioned that you'd like to see that brought up again. And then there was one other one, changing the state assessment test from AZ Merit to the ACT.
Yeah, that was a mistake. I think most districts didn't do it. That's a complicated issue, but when you constantly change a testing system, it's hard to figure. It really erodes accountability. And it's sort of like we're groping for something that makes us look good somehow. Mm-hmm. And it just, I really disagreed with that. And some of the other local districts rejected that change.
Okay, so that was your old letter. What's the new headline going to be?
Well, one of the headlines is going to be that after months of work, the board at the November meeting unexpectedly, three members of the board with a surprise agenda item blew up the reform of the board office and made an internal promotion, voting essentially to ignore the 20 applications that were sitting ready for us to review, and without, they voted not even to look at them and make the internal promotion. It was a gross public process failure, which the superintendent endorsed on the morning of the meeting.
You're going to try to hear more about this? Or?
Well, I think we're going to have to revisit it. I don't know how Layla will feel about it, but it was just, it was one of the worst examples of the friends and family culture of TUSD, that one of the organizational priorities is to protect the people we know and like and our relatives.
All right, the opinions of Dr. Mark Stegeman. That's all right. You're certainly entitled to air your opinion, and we try to have as many of our TUSD friends on this program as possible. We bring on the superintendent every other month, which is great. We're going to have Layla, the new member, on in a couple of weeks in January. And, of course, we have you on regularly as well, Dr. Stegeman. So the very best now to you and your young family as you plow ahead into the holiday. Well, maybe plow ahead isn't the best word, but move forward and to the joyous Christmas season.
Oh, yeah. Patrick is just great. This is a new thing for me, and he's just every week is a revelation.
Big smile on your face talking about your family. All right. We will say goodbye to Dr. Stegeman, and we will welcome the mayor. Mr. Mayor will be here from the town of Sahuarita. That's next.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Oh, I love that bumper music. America. Yeah. Mayor Tom Murphy with me in studio. I love that group. I've got a couple of their CDs, including The Silent Letter, which was their last CD, the ninth. Didn't get a lot of publicity, but I loved it. It's time for our CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor, Inc., a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor, Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of nearly $25 billion. That's billion with a B, with 155 company locates and expansions supporting more than 44,000 jobs. Our Sun Corridor CEO interview now is with Tom Murphy, the mayor elected to the town council originally in Sahuarita in 2013 and selected as mayor 2 years ago this month, Mayor.
And then just recently on Monday night, I was re-elected.
I did not know that. Yes. So hot off the press.
Hot off the press.
So you're re-elected for four more?
Well, two more years until the next election.
Okay. So the mayor and his family moved to Sahuarita in 2003 after 42 years of combined military service for himself and his wife, Lynn. And the mayor is a member of the Sun Corridor, Inc. Board of Directors, which kind of, Mayor, reads like a who's who of the business leaders of this region.
Yes, absolutely. And it's a very collaborative effort of everybody working together, because if the region's going to thrive, it's going to be all of us working together. And I think Sun Corridor has done a really great job, and you've seen a lot of the successes over the last year on the different companies they've brought into the community. So it's been an honor to work with everybody.
Tell our listeners about the footprint of your town.
Yes, well, we're 30 square miles, and on the north we have the Tejada Autumn Nation. We have the mines to the west, and then we have Green Valley, which is just south of us. To our east, which is our potential expansion plans over the future out towards the Vail area. So we're a very close-knit community. One of the things that when I moved here in 2003, as you mentioned, now we're up to 30,000 residents, but we've been able to maintain that small town feel, that small community connection, which I think has really helped differentiate ourselves from other communities in Arizona.
How do you do that? Through like walking and bicycle paths?
And we also have a really strong park and recs department, so mm-hmm. we have a lot of signature events. This Saturday, we're going to have our Winter Festival Parade, for instance, and I'll be riding with Santa on the Rural Metro Fire Truck, and we'll come back and light the Christmas tree in the town square. That we have a pretty famous pecan festival with the FICO pecan growers there.
Is that still a thriving industry down there?
Yes, it really is. Oh. Most of their, my understanding is most of their pecans are exported.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. China, Asia, and other areas. So it's doing really well, but they have a plan over time to convert those into homes. So we have the potential to grow, double our population over the next probably 10, 20 years.
And what was the genesis of the community? How did it come about?
Yes, well, of course, the community, when it was unincorporated, mm-hmm. has been there for a long time. And really one of the early drivers, my understanding, is the Master Plan Community Rancho Sarita. They helped lead an effort to incorporate the town, and they make up about half the town's population. That's where I happen to live. And it really was the beginning drivers of the sort of the commercial. We had a small Walmart down there. But over the years, it's really been a residential success story. We've had a strong school district. I just finished serving 14 years on the school board down in Sahuarita.
There you go.
And so it was really a combination of strong school system and strong
residential. Do you have good schools down there?
Yes, we really do. When I first was elected, we only had 2,000 students. Now we have 6,300.
Wow.
For an instance, we only were offering Spanish in the beginning, and now we offer Mandarin, Chinese, German, and Spanish.
Wow.
Our Walden Grove Pack team, you might be familiar with. They appeared on America's Got Talent and Good Morning America. Our band, our NJROTC, we've just really had a lot of success. But over time, we realized really it's hard to survive as just a good residential community. And we've really gone on a strategic planning effort to bring more retail and jobs into our town, which has been very successful over the last couple of years.
So you have the 25 years now of incorporation.
Yes. And we have, being that it's hard to believe I've been there for, you know, more than half of it, living all over the world with the Air Force. But it'll be a really exciting year. January 18th, we're going to have a town open house where all of our departments, the citizens can come tour between 2 and 6 p.m. I'll be cooking hamburgers and hot dogs.
Wow.
Yeah, for the community.
There
and
you
then
go.
We're going to have
chef's hat on.
Don't hold me, the town, accountable to culinary arts because of that. But also, we will have sort of a monthly event of sorts, tune at the town hall, those types of things, and really expand our 25th year celebration on a monthly basis.
Well, we talked a little bit about what makes your town attractive, kind of a rural feel. It really does have a different feel than Tucson. But how do you attract business to that area? It's primarily your foundation was residential. Now the goal is business.
Yes. When they always say, you know, and it's always the chicken or the egg, do
what's going to lead the
what's
pack,
what's
going
to lead the rooftops, lead retail, or vice versa. And really identifying, which we have done over the years working with Eller at the U of A on our median income, which is very high, our education level, which is very high, and that has helped us to attract businesses that look at us. And so, since we're so close to Green Valley, in some sorts of ways, it almost doubles our population. So they've been really good shoppers, for us. So instead of having a trade area of 30,000 residents, we probably have one closer to 60,000 if you include Green Valley.
Right.
So they've been really strong supporters of our stores, and the recent addition of Sprouts and TJ Maxx and Starbucks is under construction and Culver's is coming. It just sort of goes on and on.
Medical? What about medical?
Medical, yes. Northwest Hospital has announced they're going to be breaking ground hopefully in the next month or so.
Where will that be?
Just south of Sahuarita Road.
Okay.
Next to the Shell station. They're going to be building an 18-bed neighborhood hospital in the area. And then down in Green Valley, there's the Santa Cruz Valley Regional Hospital. That's also there. So medically speaking, I think we're going to have a really good offering for our residents. And we're also going to be going under construction with a new permanent library through the Pima County Library System.
Very good.
So those are things that I think brand your community as up and coming. We've always been named one of the safest communities to live in Arizona, as well as one of the best places to raise a family. So I think we've done a good job working collectively as mayor, council, and staff to support our residents' needs.
Our series with Sun Corridor is a CEO interview series, and technically you're not a CEO, but then again, a mayor is a CEO.
Right,
you know, it's kind of a fine line there. I mean, you're running a large organization.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think a little bit of the difference is I always feel I have 30,000 bosses that I report to, or one you're not going to get reelected. And it's a little funny because my wife doesn't like to go shopping with me in the town, because if I'm at the local Fry's or Safeway, it takes me a little longer to get through the store than maybe some other folks. But I've always tried to be very open and visible, both by my years on the school board as well as on the town council and mayor. But it's an interesting small town feel where you can really connect with your residents, hear about their concerns and needs, and with a great staff, you can fix those things on a short time frame.
Do you like the direction Sun Corridor is going?
Yes, no, I'm very excited. From Amazon to Hirsch Investments to, you know, of course, Caterpillar. Mm-hmm. I really think with the efforts with the I-11 roadway and Sonoran Corridor, we're in a very key logistics position where we are with our position to Mexico and the produce that comes up. And the Tucson, when I was sitting outside waiting, I saw the commercial for Tucson International Airport,
right,
which is another gem. I have the pleasure to serve on the Tucson Airport Authority Steering Committee to look at what we can do. They have upwards of 8,000 acres that are there. As comparison, LAX has about 3,000 acres.
I did not realize
yes.
It was 8,000.
8,000. So working with Sun Corridor and figuring out the land planning and the uses, I think it's just an exciting opportunity with working with TAA and Sun Corridor on how to really use that more so than just from a passenger standpoint. But having, obviously, passengers flying out of there, Fly Tucson, is very important because that'll help bring in more air carriers.
They have such exciting news going on out there. We'll be talking next Wednesday, with our quarterly report with Dick Grunzel.
Yes, great guy.
My goodness, the expansion plans and the new airline service up to the Seattle and Vancouver area, and it's just there's a lot going on at the airport. I think overall it's been a really good year, economic development year for us.
No, it really has, and again, we're just what we have in the pipeline with the crossing is one of our shopping areas, the corner, the hospital coming in, the library. We're opening our newest K-8 school next Wednesday. And it's Wrightson Ridge. So our continued growth in a high-quality way, I think, is going to continue to attract high-quality retailers and workforce development.
All right, Mayor, thank you very much. It was a pleasure catching up with you. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Bill. It's nice to be on with you.
Mayor Tom Murphy from the town of Sahorita. And if people would like more information about Sun Corridor, you can go to their website, suncorridorinc.com, for more. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and we want to tell everybody about the Danish Kringle up at Mona's Danish Bakery. As I was saying to my great producer and engineer, Bob Dio, Bob, there is a treat coming tomorrow for Mona's Danish Bakery. Steve and the team wanted to do a thank you to all of us here at KVOI, so they're preparing an almond Danish Kringle for the station.
I am all ready for the tingle from the Kringle.
There you go. Yes, that's that wonderful little jingle that, hey, that rhymes too, right? Little jingle that Steve and the team came up with, and it goes like this. Instead of cookies this Christmas, you can make Santa tingle. Leave him a treat from Mona's, the home of the Danish Kringle.
And there you need a glass of milk and a little letter.
Well,
I wonder if
Mayor Murphy?
Mayor Murphy, or what? Was it Stegman, Mr. Stegman, that had the two-year-old?
Yes,
he's got to probably
Dr. Stegman
start those letters
that had
to
the two-year-old. Yes, and I was mentioning earlier that my wife brought home what was left, and there wasn't much left from their potluck over at Raytheon. I was happy to have the for dessert last night, a blueberry Kringle, and I love that Tillamook ice cream from Oregon. We were up in Tillamook in mid-October. Mayor Murphy's still with us here in studio. Am I making you hungry?
And you are. I was wondering if I should give you our address down in Sahuarita.
I know. I was just I had noticed, and it's true, you have lost some weight, which is great. You look great.
Thank you.
But by the time the show's over, you're going to be thinking about getting a Danish Kringle or something.
I absolutely will.
For
it sounds delicious.
There down in the town. How many employees do you have down there?
About 144.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's
and how has that grown over the years?
It certainly has. When it was originally, this was before me, pretty much everything was contracted out.
Yeah.
And now we have a full complement of in services internal within.
For more information about Mona's Danish Bakery, monasdanishbakery.com, and they are located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, up near where I live, and a lot of people in the foothills. Mona's is really part of the weekend tradition, certainly going by and having coffee and a Danish at Mona's. You can also go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's and a link to all of our great sponsors, Mayor, including a place that I know is now on your bucket list, and that's Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico.
Yes, you were telling me so many exciting things about it.
There are some great things going on over there, and it's not that far. It's basically a three-hour drive over to Silver City, and the starting place is their great website, southwestnewmexico.org, for the complete list of many places to stay, really nice places in that area, and several dozen recreation opportunities. It's a very very historic area, Silver City. Check it out. Great time of year to go over there. Everything's decorated in downtown Silver City. And everything, are you doing a lot of decorations in Sahuarita?
Yes. Actually, right in front of the town hall, it looks very festive, and we're very happy about that. And as I mentioned the last segment, on Saturday, we'll be lighting the Christmas tree. It's one of the, again, the things that I think makes our town special by having those small town feel and activities that go along with that.
One thing I didn't get into, and I'd like to, a little bit about transportation, and because you are one of the sitting mayors and heads of municipalities in Southern Arizona, you are part of the Regional Transportation Authority.
Correct.
How are your roads there? You're a newer community, so I'd assume they're in pretty good shape.
Yes, and we're very proud of that, because one of the things with my work with Sun Corridor, when the site selectors were in, the two things that they had mentioned was infrastructure, condition of roads, and also of schools for the area in general. Those are very important selection criteria for businesses to locate here. We actually added about another $400,000 out of our general fund to our maintenance of our roads, because it obviously, you've been watching the region and the area and the struggles they've been having with that, and it's much more cost effective to do a preventative program than it is to have to go and totally, you know, mill and overlay, the roads.
Right.
So we have a strategic plan for road maintenance that we're very happy with. I do tease people on occasion that when you're going east on Sahuarita Road, you do know when you left the town boundaries by the condition and the quietness of the roads and when you reach the county. But
look out for those big potholes
yes.
when you get outside of the town there. Mayor Tom Murphy is with us from the town of Sahuarita. What about workforce development? In many cases, we've talked about your community started as a residential community, or some might say like a bedroom community.
Correct.
In Tucson. How are you going to keep people, or wouldn't it be nice to have people be able to work very close to their home?
Absolutely. And we've seen it from the school district side, because it would be nice if somebody is working, a mile or two down the street and they have an assembly for their kids that they could pop out and actually attend.
Right.
So, I look at it as a three-legged stool. We really started with a really strong foundation of the residential, as you mentioned, and we've really made great progress on the retail side, which I would say is the second. And the third is the workforce development. The hospital will be a great boost. That'll be about 144 jobs. And an average salary of about $80,000.
Wow.
We also have in the works our SAMTEC project.
What is that?
Yes, that stands for Sahuarita Advanced Technology Manufacturing. And we were awarded a $3 million grant from the EDA, the federal government, a couple years ago. And we're putting in $1 million. We're going to be building about a 33,000 square foot high-tech, light manufacturing facility. We have a couple of inventor manufacturers that we hope to keep in our town, Hydronolics with the founder Tony Mulligan, and it's a rescue device that we're very proud of that exists and constructs in our town, plus Control Vision led by Dan Crawford. And they keep on expanding, and one of those things, especially with our logistics hub off of I-19, we think that will be the start, hopefully, of, and of course it won't be as big as the U of A Tech Park, but we feel that there will always be good spin-off uses that would be more likely for our town to land.
So this could be a nice catalyst for high tech.
Yes, yes, that's what we look
and
at.
Tell me the name again.
SAMTEC.
SAMTEC.
Yep, Sahuarita Advanced Manufacturing Technology Center.
Okay, and they are located where?
Well, they're going to be just south of Sahuarita Road on La Quinada.
Okay.
And it'll be about 33,000 square feet.
That's pretty big.
It is, and it's good for us because really, again, our early focus was on maintaining all these nice, great residential communities, master plans that had great amenities. But a few years ago, we realized there was about 70% tax leakage out of our town, where if you're typically you were shopping and buying where you worked, and most people were working outside of our community. And that's when we really, it was the previous mayor, Dwayne Bloomberg, that started this process to really come up with a strategic plan on how to grow our retail and our workforce development.
Makes sense to me, Mayor Murphy. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, and hope you and Lynn and the family have a joyous Christmas and a happy, and I always like to say, not just happy, but healthy. New Year. Thank you very much,
Thank
Mayor.
You, Bill. Appreciate it.
All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Bob Dio, Mayor Murphy, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening. Steve Rivera is next.